Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature my recent conversation with Jeremiah Newman. Jeremiah is a graduate in our Executive MBA class of 2018, and he also has a startup, a t-shirt venture he has launched with his brother called TrueBreaker. We recently connected to talk a bit more about his MBA journey, how he decided to pursue an MBA, what led him to Darden, and how things are going with his t-shirt business. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jeremiah Newman. Jeremiah, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Excited to be here. Excited to chat. I believe the last time we spoke was in 2019. I mean, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, we are. And thank you for asking once again. Family's doing great. We're staying safe. Matter of fact, we just welcomed our second child a few months ago. And my wife and I are still, as you know, navigating this new formation or configuration of working from home with two kids. But all in all, we're blessed, hoping for a brighter outcome with the pandemic for sure.
Absolutely. I think that's a hope that we all have at this point. Congratulations on the new addition to your family. That's incredible news.
Thank you. Two boys. A lot of work, but doing my best.
Undoubtedly keeping you busy at this time. And we're going to talk about just how full your plate is. That's going to be something that certainly comes up over the course of this conversation and how you're doing all of this simultaneously. Jeremiah, I want our listeners to know that we have been trying to schedule this conversation for maybe a year, maybe more than a year. We're trying to get you on the podcast. You have such an interesting story to share. You're doing so many interesting things in the world. We had to get you here. So I'm so glad that this is happening.
No, sincerely do appreciate the opportunity for sure. I would love to share my story. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about you and your background. So what did you do prior to coming to business school?
Right. So kind of want to set the scene. Originally, as you know, I'm from Ghana. I came to America for college in Michigan, where I graduated with a degree in electrical engineering. Coming out of college, I was hired by a big construction firm into the telecommunication department. Basically, that started my career progression in telecoms. I spent, I would say, maybe the better part of 10 years in telecoms before coming to Darden. Over those 10 years, I managed engineering projects, construction projects, all in telecommunications. Specifically, I built telecommunication sites for AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, within that 10-year period, I spent pockets in engineering, site acquisition, which is what we call the soft side of the business, the land acquisition piece of it. Also spent some time doing project management. Let's fast forward to today. I would present or call myself, you know, a senior manager in IT working for a utility company, but I also moonlight as an entrepreneur. And as you were before I came to Darden, I had mentioned that I started a business venture with my brother, and that was pretty much our first year in 2014.
I do remember that. And one of the things I remember talking a lot about during your interview and as we got to know each other through the process is you came from Ghana to Michigan.
Right.
And I can't think of two places that are more different from one another than, well, Ghana and Michigan. So just tell us a little bit more about what that transition was like.
Yeah, I would say it was a culture shock for sure, you know, coming from, you know, a climate that is always hot to a place that is always cold. It was a change, but I had cool people around me, and surely they got me acclimated to, you know, the weather in Michigan, and I fell in love with Michigan, to be honest. I call myself a Michigan man, for sure.
So the decision to pursue an MBA, is it something that you had thought about for a long time? Is it, you know, something that, you know, evolved over the course of your career? Talk to us a little bit more about how you made the decision that, all right, yeah, an executive MBA program makes sense for me at this point.
Yeah, I actually do have an interesting story. And so I knew right off the bat, even before coming to America, that I was going to pursue an MBA because my parents used to impress upon my senior siblings to prioritize getting an MBA, given the fact that the world was changing and obviously to become marketable and competitive, you needed an MBA. So specifically for me, an MBA became a priority or an urgent need when I was first promoted from project lead to project manager. At the time, I just knew that in order for me to climb within my industry, I certainly needed to get an MBA, and that was one of the reasons. Also, coincidentally, at the time of my promotion, I believe in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, I just started my joint business venture with my brother called True Baker. And as I mentioned during our MBA interview, we had a very challenging year as business owners, partly because we were inexperienced and also due to the fact that we had, you know, no fundamentals in business as a whole. And that was also the second reason that sort of led me to coming to Darden.
Let's talk a bit about True Baker. We'll get to it a little bit more, how things are going right now, a little bit later in the podcast. But tell us, what's True Baker?
So True Baker is a fashion apparel brand with the mission to promote Africa as well as communities of color through our creative design and campaigns. Currently, we sell our merchandise through our website, and we occasionally do pop-up shops. We also have consignment agreements with some boutiques in New York and Ghana. So that's sort of the crux of the business.
And I do want to note for our listeners, if you're going to do a Google search on True Baker, a little bit of a funky spelling. Do you want to make sure people know what they're looking for?
Yeah, for sure. So True Baker is TRUBAKER. And, you know, I would happily welcome anyone's support. The website is www.truebaker.com. Get yourself a t-shirt and join our tribe. That is our slogan for 2020.
So what's the inspiration for the name? I was trying to think about this. I don't know if we talked about this. Where did the name come from?
So the name came from my grandmother, Hannah Baker. And, you know, as we were growing up, she certainly inspired that whole, you know, sense of fashion and having to give back to the family. So pretty much we wanted to honor our grandmother, Hannah Baker. And that's why we sort of combined Baker and the name True. So that's sort of how it came about, True Baker.
So I'm thinking about your career, right? So you're an engineer, you right. worked in sort of construction, doing these kind of project management, and all of a sudden you decide, hey, I want to do a fashion business, apparel business with my brother. How did you get interested in sort of the fashion end of things?
Yeah, and no, great question. And this is actually a good one. As many of my classmates would attest to, I mean, I was known or maybe always known to have a good sense of fashion, right? So it was something that came naturally to me as a person. My mom, as I don't know if I mentioned this before, but my mom is a gospel singer in Africa. You know, not a big deal, but she does well, and she's also known for her fashion. So it's something that kind of runs through the family. And with my brother having the natural innate talent to design, it was just a combination of having a brother who has that, you know, penchant for doing designs and having someone who also wants to be a business owner. The combination of the two of us kind of led to True Baker.
And your brother designs all the t-shirts, right?
So my brother does all the designs and I run the operations. We have a team in Ghana that does mainly the creatives, and we have a team in New York that does the marketing, and you have the team in Maryland, which kind of, you know, moves the pieces and ensures that the business is running smoothly, for sure.
All right, so let's put a pin in True Baker. We're going to come back to it. I want to talk a little bit more about your business school path. So you started to see that, okay, I need to get an MBA to continue to progress in my career. What about Darden appealed to you and resonated with you?
Right, and another interesting story here. So I was at a New Year Eve party in Ghana with my wife when she introduced me to one of her friends who was attending Darden at the time. And it so happens that that person was also the president of the General Management Club for students. Long story short, we spent about an hour chatting about Darden, specifically the teaching experience, the case method, and how the program had prepared him for his next role. I think he mentioned that he had interned at Danaher or Google during the summer and that he had been offered a full-time role. So what really stuck out to me from that conversation was the quality of professors, the career services and support system that the program provides. And he also talked about one specific professor, and I would mention his name, Jorgis. So coming to Darden, I really wanted to meet that professor, and I did. I took all his classes.
Yorgos Alianis, a legend.
Yeah, I did. I know, amazing professor, incredible guy.
One of the few professors who can go by one name only. That's really when you know you've made it, is if you just go by your first name, like Madonna, like Prince, Yorgos. Right. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast and wondering a bit about Yorgos, so he is a larger-than-life persona in the classroom. He enters so much energy. He teaches in the finance area and very much a beloved faculty member. You will not forget having a class with Yorgos, for sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I can't forget. I mean, you know, I have vivid recollection of, you know, him walking through the class and his antics and the fact that he can get the, you know, the entire body of people engaged. It's just so interesting. It was a joy. It was actually a lot of fun to be in his classes.
Well, if you can remember back to being a new executive MBA format student, what was the biggest challenge for you as you kind of adapted your life to this work-life school schedule?
Right. I would say, you know, I mean, so when I think of my Darden experience, right, I have three words to describe my experience. It was one, wonderful. Two, it was challenging. And three, it was rewarding. Wonderful in the sense that when I left the program, you know, I left with some amazing friendships and a support system, a community that I believe will last forever, in my opinion. And by that, I also mean the alumni community is very active and supportive. I did reach out to a number of folks during my time, and the reception and the willingness to help was reassuring and comforting for sure. I would say Darden was challenging for me specifically because as a working professional, I had to balance competing priorities, right? And it was balancing family, work, school. And what Darden did for me was it made me very disciplined and structured with my time. And I'm, you know, sort of reaping the benefits in my career at this point in time. I would also say that, you know, in order for you to really come to Darden, you need the support of your family 100%. I think one thing that really worked for me and my wife was that we had a shared calendar, and she knew exactly what was going on with the program. She was fully ingrained in my classes, as well as my meetings, whatever the case was, she knew what was going on, and that made it very easy. Not sure if I mentioned this during our interview, but I literally started Darden right, you know, a week after my wedding. So that was the case. So to my last point about, you know, Darden being so rewarding, I mean, I left the program with sort of a renewed mindset and confidence because I knew I had been given tools and equipped with so much that made me more marketable, and that my leadership skills had also been honed based on the classes and courses that I'd taken over that period of time. So certainly.
I didn't know about the timing of your wedding. You make such a good point, though, about bringing the people in your life into this experience and making sure that they know what you have upcoming and the time commitment, and also the why of why you're doing this, right? So why is this important? And, you know, that sort of inclusivity and that mindset is not just important as you begin to start the program or you're having those conversations as an applicant. You have to consistently stay in touch throughout the program, right? So you noted having a shared calendar. I imagine you also had many conversations about just what was going on in the program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of conversations. You have to make sure there is, you know, there's a line of sight. There is alignment between you and your family. Absolutely. So that was critical for me, and it made my life 10 times easier because, you know, obviously I went to South Africa, went to Japan, went to India, and it wouldn't have been possible without sort of coordinating and making sure that my wife and I were on the same page.
So what was the impact for you when you think back on those global experiences? One of the cool things about the program right now, it's obviously tough timing with the pandemic. It's more challenging to travel globally right now.
Right.
But we have sort of an unprecedented amount of global opportunity for executive format students. We have up to 12 global residencies across all major continents. It's just an incredible thing. Now, you're someone who went to three different countries during your time in the program. What do you see as the impact of those global experiences?
Yeah, you know, the whole cultural immersion, you know, by going to those countries and understanding how different professionals with a different culture interact in a business setting. So it was just sort of, you know, having that exposure was important because as you know, with business, even with my brand, I have to interact with people in London, Japan, I offshore my manufacturing to a company in the country. I'm not going to mention the name, but having the ability to negotiate, talk to people on a whole different setting. It's the whole point of, you know, doing these global trips.
The pictures from Japan were really, really cool. I mean, I always have a bit of envy when I talk to the students after they come back from the trip, hear about all the great things that they did. The pictures from Japan really stand out in my mind because it was, you know, this both incredibly advanced, like robotic stuff that y'all were seeing, and then also this really, really traditional, like almost ancient civilization too, the juxtaposition of those two things. Kind of incredible. You want to talk a little bit more about that experience?
Yeah, Japan was, I would have to say it was my number one trip. It was a lot of fun. Certainly, you know, being exposed to the high, you know, technological advancement of Japan, and also being privy to that whole traditional piece of it, visiting temples, learning about how they do business and the different sort of the cultural way of living. I mean, the culture is totally different for sure. The way the Japanese live is very interesting. And we had some very great speakers who came and, you know, sort of shone the light on what it means to live in Japan. So it was a very, from my perspective, a rewarding experience for me. And something that I would like to add is before we wrapped up the trip, we actually went snowboarding, which was an incredible experience for us. It was an amazing time in Japan.
I do know that you're a snowboarder, that you enjoy that as an activity, but not something you can do much in Ghana, but certainly some opportunity to do that potentially in Michigan.
Right. I don't know if I told you this story, but, you know, obviously I'd never seen snow until I came to America, and somehow got fascinated with snow and decided to learn how to snowboard. I used to leave classes and just go straight to the ski hill just to, you know, learn how to snowboard. I have about maybe 5 to 6 seasons under my belt. So I wouldn't say I'm great, but I'm decent.
Well, it sounds like an incredible trip to Japan. Right. I did just want to give you an opportunity to talk about that. It is actually one of the countries that is on that list of global residency destinations for the class of 2022. Of course, that list can continue to evolve for future classes, but it's a place we've been where students have had incredible experiences. And that's both with our residential full-time MBA as well as our executive MBA students. So, Jeremiah, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on now. So you talked about your entrepreneurial endeavor.
Right.
Before you came to business school, it was maybe not going quite as well. You're having some growing pains that seemed like maybe you didn't have the business fundamentals. Now you have those business fundamentals. So you graduate from Darden, you continue to work on this endeavor with your brother, and maybe even during your time in Darden, how did things change for the business? How did it improve?
Right. So great question, Brett. As it relates to my business today, I would say Darden gave me the tools or equipped me with the skills to grow my business. Specifically, these tools that I got from Darden kind of gave me the ability to make a holistic approach in analyzing my business, to understand the cost drivers, as well as to understand the key metrics that will ultimately drive success or profitability for me. I mean, you know, the name of the game is revenue. So being able to stay profitable is critical. Case in point, I took a marketing course with Ron Wilcox. And one of the cases, if I remember correctly, was about a brand that was evaluating the need to use Google Ads to improve their revenue stream. And the objective for us as students was to understand the average order value, the customer acquisition cost, as well as the lifetime value of those customers. Well, guess what? Fast forward to today, the two key metrics that I track on a daily basis for my business is the lifetime value as well as the customer acquisition cost. And partly because 85% of my top line revenue comes from e-commerce activities. So it's very important for me to understand what my acquisition costs are and ultimately understand how to drive down those costs to stay profitable. So being able to analyze and track all the data that I get from Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Google, that information is critical for the success of my business. Also, I would say that the finance courses gave me insight on how to evaluate and analyze my business. Just having that dimension of understanding my cost drivers and how how those interact, the interaction between the key metrics, the cost drivers, and having the understanding of when to scale and when not to scale has been very instrumental. So in a few words, I would say Darden gave me the diverse understanding of the levers or key metrics to drive success within my business. You leave Darden speaking a whole new language, right? The business of language. So that's what Darden has done for me, for sure.
So I'm trying to think about launching a t-shirt company, right?
Right.
How hard is that to do, or how hard is it to get market penetration and to say, we have people that know about us? I've never done anything like that. And I imagine many of our listeners are listening to this saying like, and you and your brother kind of decided to do this audacious thing that we have this idea. We think people might be interested in it. Let's try it. But how hard is it?
It's quite challenging, to be honest. I mean, you know, the barriers to entry, for setting up a brand, it's pretty low, right? Any one person can get up and set up a brand, but the difference here is not just having a brand, it's how do you grow that brand, right? So understanding the cost of goods, where do you get the goods from? Are you going to be a fulfillment shop, or are you going to sort of hold inventory? Because that impacts your bottom line. When you hold inventory, you're sitting on a lot of money. And certainly if you're not selling, you're not making any money. You could also choose to go with a fulfillment shop who obviously take a higher percentage of your sale, and therefore in turn you're getting royalties. So it's just a matter of knowing what business model actually works for you and how do you stay profitable. And with a t-shirt brand, obviously you have a lot of different levers to get the engine moving. You have to understand how to market your products, understanding how to leverage Facebook ads, Pinterest ads, Google ads. You got to have a very good understanding or technical understanding of how to do search engine optimization. There's so many different things to look at, you know. And to be honest, Darden kind of gave me those tools, because I did take a pricing class with Ron again, and that kind of helped me understand how to price my goods. You know, to put it in perspective, if you were selling a t-shirt for $10, you know, if it cost you $10 to make a t-shirt, it would only make sense for you to sell the t-shirt at 3x, right? Because at 2x, you make no money, because you have to obviously advertise, and the cost of advertising certainly does eat into your profit. So just having a very good understanding of how to do business, cost of goods, market, and all the other things that kind of come into that balance sheet, right? And I guess a very good picture I can paint is my business now is strictly e-commerce, right? And in e-commerce, for you to have any margin of profitability, your gross profit has to be 70%, because it costs a lot to advertise. So just knowing all these things, and it only became possible because I had a Darden background and I had those tools to allow me to analyze data, do the right research, and talk to the right people within the community to get me up and running. So it's certainly a challenging, you know, proposition to set up a business.
At some point, were you choosing classes with your business in mind, or with things that might be helpful to you as you help True Baker grow?
Absolutely. I mean, I came to Darden with a plan. I knew exactly what I wanted out of Darden. I knew I wanted to climb. I also knew that I needed the tools to help me run my business. So I prioritized, you know, my finance classes, prioritized taking, you know, marketing, prioritized taking pricing. And those three classes courses have been instrumental in how I do run my business today.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you've learned some things along the way. It's clear the passion that you have for the right work that you are doing. We were talking before we got started about just how full your days are, right? So you mentioned you have a full-time job that's like, what, 7 to 5:30 or so, and then you turn around in the evening and work on True Baker. What sustains you through all of this? That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it's just having that drive and passion for what you do, right? And as I mentioned, you know, certainly Darden was challenging, having to learn how to balance competing priorities, family, work, and school. So those moments or those activities sort of prepared me for today, right? I know I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, hopefully get my workout done in 30 minutes, get ready for work. And then at 7:30, you know, I shut it all down and sort of transition to my business, spend a good dedicated amount of time every night going through, you know, our platform, understanding what our ads are doing. Are we getting customers from our, you know, conversion ads, what's going on with the different systems that kind of keep the business running, having conversations with my team in Ghana, having conversations with my team in New York. It's just making sure that you make time for what you believe in. So it's all a matter of just being extremely disciplined, right? You got to be disciplined and structured with your time, or that becomes impossible for you to execute.
You're right that that's certainly something you get an opportunity to practice while at Darden in the executive MBA program. You have a lot of things competing for your time.
And absolutely.
So it becomes very much about prioritization, right? And what are your non-negotiables or what's most important at that time? You can't do everything all the time. And so that's a really, really important executive functioning skill you acquire through the program. How has the business grown and evolved? So where you sit today, you look back on, you know, when you first launched it, you know, how has the business grown and evolved over this period? And where do you see it going? This seems like a time when a lot of people are taking stock on things and kind of looking out maybe a bit of an uncertain future. But how do things look for TrueBaker?
Right. Considering, you know, the issues that were brought on by the pandemic, right? I mean, the pandemic severely constrained our supply chain, right? And it caused a lot of problems internally for us because it was unexpected. Customers were not getting their products on time because the post office was obviously not able to deliver. Our speed of service was not where it had to be. So it really got, you know, it really got my antennas up thinking, what do I do post-pandemic or during the pandemic, right? And you know, there's a saying, right? There is never a right moment to do what is right. You got to take the moment and make it right. So what I did was obviously sat back with my team, analyzed our situation. As it stands today, our business model is to use a fulfillment shop to get our orders out, right? And we know that we can't sustain that business model moving forward. So what we've done is we've transitioned now to a company, you know, we've outsourced our manufacturing to make sure that obviously we can control our supply chain, and also gives us the ability to ensure the quality is right and consistent across the board. So making that transition to, you know, a supplier outside of the US is one thing that we've started doing. Another thing that we're looking at is trying to hire great minds. We certainly need someone who can run our marketing. And I've been talking and doing some interviews, trying to get the right person, because without marketing, you're non-existent. A brand is exactly what you show people, right? So getting that brand awareness up is the number two item that we are looking at. And certainly the last being, we want to grow our top line revenue. So certainly we want to scale, understanding how to scale and also being able to reduce our cost of goods and our cost drivers. These are all things that we're doing as a brand to make sure that we stay afloat and survive through the pandemic. So it's been great. It's been great.
It sounds like you're having to stay nimble and continuing to think about, you know, how to keep the business fresh and operational. No doubt, I can completely understand that the supply chain disruption would have caused a lot of headaches. It's certainly something you hear almost talking to any business about what things were like in March and April and even before that.
Yeah, it's a big issue, to be honest, and it hasn't gotten any better, right? Because supply chains are still being hammered by the pandemic. Today, a factory is working. Tomorrow, someone gets COVID and they have to shut down. So it's just that snowball effect, you know, it keeps coming down, and small business owners are taking the brunt of it, obviously, because we can't get our products and we can't sell.
So let's talk a little bit about the designs of the t-shirts. So really cool. I wish we could get the t-shirt that you're wearing to come through on the podcast. These are really great designs. What's the inspiration for the designs? You mentioned they're sort of African-centric, focused on sort of raising, you know, sort of consciousness about Africa and all this kind of thing. It's great. They look incredible, but where do they come from?
Right. So, I'll start by telling you what our mission is. Our mission is to promote Africa, unify persons of African descent throughout the diaspora. And by that, I mean our designs and creatives are focused on empowerment and the beauty of Africa, but in the non-traditional sense. So it's pretty much casting Africa in a positive light, right? Because usually when people talk about Africa, it's, you know, 9 out of 10, it's in a bad light. You know, it's always about poverty, diseases, and whatever you consider is negative. So what we're trying to do is sort of create that paradigmatic shift, cause people to have the paradigm shift about Africa. Africa is not all about diseases. It's not all about poverty. There's beauty in Africa. There is opportunity. And there is the other piece of the brand is to also improve communities of colors, you know, create opportunities. So it's just a combination of those two mandates is what kind of allows us to create and, you know, bring out the best.
When you think about that value set, how does it guide what you do with Truebaker? You know, it sounds like you obviously, I think one of the things that will be pretty clear to people on this listening to this podcast is the passion and energy you have for the work that you do. Right. But how, you know, as you think about advancing the company's mission, what are some things that you've been able to accomplish or that you're thinking about that sort of live those values?
Right. So as it stands today, our patrons or our market segment is, you know, strict. It's very constricted, you know, because we sell a niche product that has a certain appeal to certain people. What we started considering is, you know, how do we sort of create a design that has the crossover appeal, right? Something that appeals to the masses, because certainly, you know, we want to stay original. At the same time, we also want to give people the opportunity to be a part of the mission. Our mission today is, you know, or our slogan is join the tribe. We're trying to build a tribe that in the end, you know, supports communities of color and obviously creates opportunities for the world as a whole. So certainly sort of trying to have that cross appeal with our designs and being able to market to other factions, you know, of the nation is what we're looking at.
So when you reflect on your Darden experience, you're looking back on it, what would you share with a prospective student who is listening to this podcast thinking about maybe Darden, going to get their MBA? What would you highlight for that person?
Right. I would say two things, you know, two things I would share. And I think I said this already, but there was never a perfect moment in life to get an MBA. So if you consider joining Darden, grab this moment. And number one, choose Darden. So that's then. Second point, you know, have a plan before matriculating at Darden. You know, get introspective about why you want to get an MBA. Have an idea of what you want out of the program and be willing to allow that plan to evolve. Just don't be inflexible about it, because there's going to be a lot of opportunities, a lot of courses, and sometimes, you know, there'll be that shift in thinking. So just make yourself, avail yourself for those moments. And the last thing that I would add is enjoy the journey. Enjoy the journey. Build relationships and never be afraid to rely on the Darden community, because that is the icing on the cake for getting the MBA. It's the community that you become a part of. It's forever.
Were there any surprises for you as you went through your Darden experience? Anything that you made you realize, oh my gosh, this is not something I expected, or just, you know, I thought I was going to move in this direction. All of a sudden I'm doing this other thing. I think such an important point for prospective students to hear, because the program is designed to be transformational, right? So this is going to happen, right? There are going to be moments like that. I'm curious what that looked like for you.
A few moments, but I think for me, and, you know, and I may be sort of shifting from the question a little bit. What was most surprising to me was sort of the cultural nature or feel of the program, right? And by that, I mean the feeling of being part of something versus just being in a classroom with a group of professionals. To be honest, I wasn't sure if the executive program or the format would allow students to connect or build lasting relationships, you know, compared to the full-time program, but I was fairly surprised during the few weeks. For example, you know, the whole concept of learning groups kind of really turned on the light bulb for me. The whole idea of segmenting the population into groups based on your personality traits, your strengths, your weaknesses, I thought that was incredible. Because what it did for me during the program was it brought on the awareness that to be a great leader, you need to have the self-awareness to surround yourself with people who can compensate for that weakness. So those were the things that to me was surprising. And certainly, you know, as I took more classes, my interest started to wane a little bit. I was thinking, do I become a finance professional? But, you know, all in all, as I said, you got to have a plan and let that plan evolve as you go through the program. It's trust the process. At the end of the day, it all comes together to make one whole, for sure.
Well, Jeremiah, it's been great having this time with you on the podcast. I know how busy you are. I think our listeners are starting to put that together too. You've got basically two full-time jobs. helping True Baker during, you know, what's a challenging time. If people want to learn a little bit more about True Baker, if they want to see some of these great t-shirts, where do they go?
Yes. You know, this is, it's important that I mention this on the podcast. When we graduated in 2018, I held my first pop-up shop in DC, and I really want to give a shout out to Rebecca, Erica, Latasha, Jess, as well as Annie. I just want to make sure all the people that came to support, I just want to say thank you. It was an incredible time for me, and thanks to the Darden community for sure. To your question, if you want to get a True Baker t-shirt, please go to the website, www.truebaker.com. We have a beautiful array of t-shirts that would certainly, you know, keep you looking good. And we really do appreciate your support. So come to True Baker, join the tribe, and let's promote Africa together.
Well, I appreciate the point. Those are all great people you mentioned. I'm not surprised that they turned out for your pop-up shop. And right. Jeremiah, like I said, we've been trying to set this up for a while. Thrilled to see how things are going with your business. I know, you know, running your own business, it's always something to work on. It sounds like it keeps you busy, but obviously things are going well. The t-shirts look great. And I'm so glad to hear about the impact that your Darden experience has had for you. So thank you so much for taking time for the podcast. And I hope you and your family stay safe and well during these times.
Oh, thank you, Brett. Thank you for the opportunity. Looking forward to our next meeting. So thank you. Appreciate it.
And that was my interview with Jeremiah Newman, a graduate from our Executive MBA class of 2018. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. Till next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.